It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
It helps if the mic's up, Miss Melanie. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My handsome grandson, Ethan, is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine, Monica.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling. They're located in Weatherford, Oklahoma. If you're looking to add on or build a home, please, I encourage you to reach out to Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford. They do quality work, and they have Christian values. I think I covered it all, Miss Melanie. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, we thank you for another day's journey upon this earth. We thank you for how you allowed us to awaken this morning to see this blessed day. And thank you for each and every one that's out listening this morning, Lord, to this particular program. I just pray for each and every one, Lord, that they receive what they need from this message. Each and every one that tunes in, Lord, that let this be a message that stirs them, that motivates them, that encourages them, Lord, that they can live by some sound wisdom of the Word of God. And so we give you the praise for what you're are doing in this broadcast and for what is even going to transpire afterwards as well. And we thank you for your goodness to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, amen. Words of Wisdom to Live By.
Amen. I was looking at the book of Proverbs because every Wednesday night, for the past maybe 3 or 4 months, our co-pastor has been sharing on a series called Wisdom in the Word. And since this is each month, she starts on a different thought, if you would. And so this month we're dealing with growth. And as I was thinking about that, I said, you know, it'd be good to share on a particular day here about the wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs. And so what I'm looking to do, if things don't change, that I'm coming out of each chapter, and we'll bring about, say, 10, either 10 verses or 10 passages of scripture. And I'll continue it on next month as well until we get through, hopefully, the entire book, unless God has me to, you know, go a different route. So this is what this is dealing with, words of wisdom to live by, taking heed to Proverbs. And so I really hope that you receive, you know, what you need in this setting, because in this day and time, because people are living so, how you want to say, everybody's living by their own proverb, living by their own thoughts, and we're not our own. We're not our own. The scripture says that, you know, we belong to God. We're the sheep of his pasture. You know, we have not made ourselves, but he's the one that has made us. And so we need to live by a set of standards by the designer. If you think about a car that's made, it's made according to what it was designed to do. you don't get in a car and it just jerks and takes you off onto a whole nother path and you trying to go right and it's trying to go left. No. It's going to do what it's designed to do. And so we need to do what we're designed to do, and that's to live by the wisdom of God. Well, let's go into Proverbs chapter 1, the very first chapter, and verse 33 is what I'm going to pull out. Verse 33. And it says, "But whoever will listen to me will dwell safely, and he will be secure without fear of evil." Let me read that again. "But whoever will listen to me will dwell safely, and he will be secure without fear of evil." Let's look at some words here that are as to what they really mean. First of all, let's look at the word dwell. We're talking about dwelling safely. And so what we have here is dwell means to reside, remain, rest, habitation, or permanently stay. So what we have is a word that means habitation, not visitation. We're not talking about a place that you just visit. We're talking about you can be in a place where you have continual presence of God in your life, where you can reside continually in a place with God where you can feel safe. And I believe if we really think about this, this is what I'm about to say is what's really going on with people. We have, say, a momentary visitation from God and we feel good. You know, we feel, oh my, I feel like I can, you know, run through troops like the scripture says and climb, you know, run through walls and what have you. But then after that feeling goes, it's like we feel, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, this situation has come up now, a different situation. Now, how am I going to make it? No, we don't have to be wishy-washy. We don't have to be back and forth in things. We can have a place where we permanently rest in Jesus and know that he is taking care of our situations. We can have that, people of God. We can dwell safely in a place in God where we don't have to fear what may come upon us. And so I think those definitions are so powerful that are given on that word dwell. And it says he will be secure without fear of evil. Secure. When you are secure, you feel like you're in a place of refuge. And these definitions I'm giving is from the Strong's Concordance, because it gives you the original meaning for these words. You're in a place of refuge. You have an assurance. You have a hope, see, that you are safe. And so this is a powerful scripture. And it says, whoever will listen to me. Who are we talking about listen to me? And I found out in going through the book of Proverbs, just about almost 100% deals with wisdom. And I almost want to say 100% in some form or manner deals with wisdom. So we're talking about listening to wisdom. If we will take the wisdom of God and we will learn of what he's trying to say and we will apply it to our lives directly, we will dwell safely and be secure without evil. Now I want you to know, it's not always in your life that it's such a pretty picture. I started to bring these pictures of some waterfalls that I've taken and water going, you know, around this rock and circling around this rock and just different pictures of water. Because when you look at water, water is peaceful. It just brings you peace. I can go out to Elk Lake and just look at how that water's swirling sometimes. And it's just a piece of beyond me, just looking at the water. So we're not talking about just a pretty picture of water or a reflection of something in the water, you know. But we're talking about this. I'm going to tell you what type of peace you can have. We're talking about you can get in a place where there can be a heavy cloudburst of a heavy downpouring rain, and you can be like a bird sitting out there in the middle of the ocean on some piece of stick when it's raining, lightning, thunder, whatever, and don't feel disturbed. And you see, dwelling in the place of God is not about, it has to be around you peaceful, but what has to be within you, see, in the place of a disturbance that's around you, you need to have the peace of God in your life. We don't have a whole lot of peace a lot of times that surrounds us in life because of all the disturbance that goes on in life. School starts today in Elk City, Oklahoma. And I'm praying for, you know, a peaceful, you know, school year for my nieces and nephews and others. We always, the Sunday before they start school, we always call the young people up at church and our pastor prays over them, you know, and just pray various things over their lives, God's protection, and they will do well in their grades and get along with their, you know, students and teachers. We pray those things, but, you know, at the same time, I want them to realize that God is their source. I shared with my young nephew, I said, when you feel overwhelmed, I said, Proverbs 2:11, and it says, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. What is discretion? See, discretion and understanding deals with wisdom. Wisdom deals with you having the understanding of how to apply knowledge in, you know, in your situations. And when will it preserve you and keep you? Well, if you look at the some other verses, especially verse 10 right above, it says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, that's when you will find that wisdom will preserve you, when it enters your heart. So it's saying when you hear the wisdom and you don't reject it, you receive the wisdom and allow it to be applied to you, then it will keep you. It will be the preservation of your life. How many a person would have fared better if they had to listen to the wisdom that somebody shared with them about not going to a particular party or not going, you know, down a certain road, that you're going to encounter something here. People's lives have actually been spared when they've heard the wisdom of God, when they were told not to do certain things. But if they didn't hear, then they would find themselves, you know, in a situation that they wish they had not, you know, wish they had have listened to the wisdom of somebody sharing that. And so we're in a world now where everybody has their own proverb, right or wrong. But there is only one truth. See, there's not all kind of truths. There's one truth, and that truth is based on the wisdom of God. So let us receive that wisdom. Let discretion, you know, be discerning. Be discerning about what you do. I've been telling people, I said, we're in a day now that you can't just get up, you know you're going to the store to get you a dozen of eggs and some milk, butter, whatever your groceries are. But you have to really be purposely thinking that God, as I go, keep me, protect me. Don't let evil befall me in either way. You got to pray these things over you, because you don't know what you're going to encounter when you go to the store nowadays. You used to have to worry about nobody shooting you up and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, evil is so prevalent now till you have to be, wise about how you go about doing things and be, you know, because God may say, well, you know, no, not now. I think about a lady that during the Murrow bombing, a lady that we knew, and she's talked about how sleep hit her so heavily that morning that she couldn't get up to take her grandmother to the Murrow building for her appointment. And when she finally did get up and she had overslept, and then she saw what had happened there, she knew that God was the one to allow her to get so sleepy like that so that they wouldn't have been in that building when that bomb was driven into it by Timothy McVeigh. And so, you know, when wisdom comes, you know, it comes in all kind of, you know, ways. Sometimes it's not always a way we understand. But still take heed to that. Don't be thinking, well, I don't know why I'm getting so sleepy. Shoot, let me go get me a Red Bull and get the sleep off of me. You better be asking God, is there a reason why I'm getting sleepy? You know, it may not be for you to be going down the road at, you know, something may be awaiting you in an accident. And, you know, you just have to be wise. Even I thought about something that my son shared with me last night. He said he was at the stop sign getting ready to make his turn. And he said, as he was getting ready to go, he said this car came out, no, just flying on by. He said he had to swerve on off, you know, and let them get on by. And I said, it's sad, you know, that people in such a hurry, you know, nowadays to get on to where they are, to they feel like it's not, you know, I got to disobey the traffic signs, you know. I ain't got time for that right now. I got to get where I'm going. You better, you know, be thinking about you may not make it there if you, you know, going through a stop sign like that.
Come on.
All righty. Let's talk about Proverbs 3 and 27. Proverbs 3 and 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. This is a good one right here. You know, sometimes we have it within our hands or within our means, if you will, to help someone. And we sometimes we'll think, well, I might want to help. I'm going to let somebody else help. We got organizations that can help them. Let's just let them go ahead and, you know, let those organizations help them. But you don't know how God may want to use you to minister to the person as to why you need to help them. And so this is a powerful scripture in that it letting you know when you have it within your hand to help, don't withhold, you know, the good that you have in helping somebody. And we're not always speaking of money. It could be anything. It could be anything from a encouraging word to somebody. I you know, thought about some incident that just happened with us last night at church in our service. Around the middle of the message, a lady came in and she was just, I mean, she was in deep sorrow and grief till she just busted out crying. She was sat down at the back, but she was in some kind of deep sorrow. And it was so deep, it's like you could feel it when she busted out crying. So, oh my God, what in the world has happened that she's just... But the thing of it was, and she just wanted God to forgive her for whatever. She was just so that broken. Mm-hmm. And then she had a hard time trying to forgive herself. And even after service was over, the three of us stayed there with her to, you know, to help her and to try to get her to understand that God forgives you. You got to forgive yourself. And so why did I bring that out? Because it was within our hands to help her in a spiritual way in which she was needing, you know, spiritual help. And she drove up in the church parking lot and said, you know, this, I came here. I have to be here. And so you never know what you're going to encounter even in your regular Wednesday night service, you know, you're thinking, well, we're going to have our Wednesday night service, the Wednesday on the Word. It's been good. We're going to enjoy that and all that and do our praise and worship team, singing and all. But you don't know what out of the ordinary may happen, see. And so we couldn't be sending her off to somewhere else. So, you know, service is over now. You know, I got, you know, I don't know. We got somewhere to go now, you know. No, that's, we at the house of God. That's why we're there. We're at the house of God, Monica, and God sends a person. That's what we're there for.
You're the hospital.
Yes.
The church is the hospital for the spiritually broken, my spirit became very sick, and you know, that's what the church is for. Praise God for the churches.
Amen.
Because they loved me back to life.
Praise God.
I would not be where I am today without the only living God and the church homes.
I thank God for the people of God. Because see, this is what has helped me. This is what has helped my family. When we've gone through things with our children, when we've gone through things in our lives ourselves, I could go to the house of God and just share, you know, so I need prayer. I said, this thing is overwhelming and I'm not sure what I want to do. You know, I remember even having a time have packed my bags and my young son's bags. And I was getting ready to hightail it on out of Elk City. You know, I had gotten that upset, you know, and I'm ready to go. But thank God for the people of God that say, listen here, where are you going? You know, you just can't just flee and run. you got to be the example. And here I was at that time, I was a pastor's wife. She said, you got to be the example to the others how to fight this thing out and how to keep going on. And at first, when they told me, I said, I was thinking in my mind, I said, I don't care who I am. I'm tired of this situation. And they can get another pastor's wife. So as I'm concerned, I'm getting out of here. I don't feel like battling this no more. You know. And so, but thank God for the people of God that were able to help me to see and to understand through the word of God that, you know, there's a way to battle things in the spirit. And this has become one of my favorite verses, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That passage of scripture has helped me many a time, because the enemy will put all kind of images and he'll put all kind of thoughts in your mindset and have you all tore up in your mind. But when you start, that verse has been so powerful till I have said it over and over and over and over, said it enough times till when I said it enough times till it finally registered in my spirit. And I thought, oh, yeah, I feel this thing now. We getting some headway made now, because we're not going to let all these thoughts that the enemy's throwing in, all these images, cause me to back away from the promises of God. No. We got to know on whose side we're standing. The devil will make you feel like you're on the wrong side when you're standing with God. Oh, yeah, he will. And you may be thinking, oh, how can he make you? Oh, yeah, things can come up. He'll almost have you forgetting that you're standing with God. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, I don't know if I done got way off base about talking about do not withhold good. Because we were talking about how, you know, we were able to bless, you know, somebody that came in last night. Know that you have what you need to be a blessing to somebody. Don't send them on their way to somebody else when you have it within your hands and you can bless them. And however they need to be blessed. All right, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. The word diligence means guard or watch. And so what are we saying? You have to guard, you have to watch your heart. for out of it springs the issues of life. Whatever your things that you desire, whatever things you love, whatever things that you have affection for in life, those are things that will that will captivate your heart, so to speak. And so you have to guard your heart in the sense that you don't want things that are out of the will of God to captivate your heart. You don't want things that to captivate your heart that will cause heartaches to your heart. And so you have to guard your heart from things that will come and try to, snatch you up in ways that you don't want to be snatched up in. You know, if you do like the Word of God says, you know, set your affections on things above and not on things upon this earth, other things that you desire, even natural things, God will bring some of those things in play in your life when you put Him first. And so, you know, do that. Put God first. Let the will of God captivate your heart. And then as you operate in those things, don't be surprised that God will bring some other things about for you in life. Proverbs 5:3. This one is for you men. And well let me say men and women both. But it says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Oh, yeah. You know what? God has blessed us women, Monica. He's blessed us. And what it is, God has blessed us with intuition, a way about knowing things, a way about how to nurture our children in life. We can see things that are happening with them that maybe the father may not see at the time. Sometimes we're the first ones to see and notice things that's going on with them. God just has given us this special sense, if you will, you know, about things. He's given us a way about how to get things done. God has given us a special way of how we can really get things done. But then, if you don't use it rightly, you can use it as a tool of manipulation. And see, this is what the immoral woman does. She comes up and it says that her lips are drip with honey and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, I looked up smoother. Smoother means flattery, means two things. It's flattery and it means slippery place. So what are we saying? We're saying that the lips of an immoral woman can flatter you and just say all kind of things to cause you to just slip off into her arms. That's what we're saying. God gave me to write a piece here, and I wrote it for my son here on August 5th. And it's called In Single Satisfaction. And I'm going to read this. This is for you young men, all those that's waiting to have a wife, just to let you know to find your satisfaction in God till He brings that particular individual as to be your mate. All right. So listen up, brothers. For you as a sinner who was desperately lost, God's Son came in due time, demonstrating His love and what it really cost. With His very life, He redeemed your own, doing away by His blood your every sin, transgression, and wrong, so that you could truly know without a doubt that to Him you now belong. Your heart's biggest desire, He knows it very well. It was He who placed it within, before you thought of anyone to tell. The love you seek to give must be perfectly matched by God's plan, so that in Delilah's lap, you won't end up stripped of God's virtue as a man. So go in expectation of what God is in preparation, and finding in Him a true satisfaction, making room in your talents and gifts, great multiplication. When spiritual maturation has made its destination, it will be worth the wait, my son, for your queen's presentation in all her glorification. Now stay in anticipation while you're in occupation. Do away with all expression of sadness and frustration, and you will stand in glorious celebration at the consummation. Now, I know that's a lot of T-I-O-N words there, but what this is saying is that wait until God brings you your queen in all of her glory before you get involved intimately, sexually with that person. And, you know, the thing about it is that even with somebody that comes into your life, and if you get involved intimately with them, you don't know what spirits they have encountered before you. You don't know who they've been with. And I'm telling you, getting involved intimately with somebody is a spiritual thing as well as a physical thing. And so you have all these spirits that they done been with, and whatever spirits that you may have entertained beforehand. And the next thing you know, y'all are getting together, and the next thing you know, you're getting all upset with her, and she's getting all upset with you because you got all these spirits you're battling. And Lord have mercy, if you have a child, the child going to come in with all kind of spirits, and you be wondering, what's wrong with you, boy? What's wrong with you, girl? What's wrong is that you done entertained all these spirits, and you've got hooked up. And all this is going on. And so I encourage you, young man, to withhold yourself till God brings you the person that you need in your life. So you don't have to battle all that stuff. And if you have gone that route, well, then God, what you do is just get free. Ask God to free you of all of that and to help you to maintain till the right person come. And then you still are on a good road and still can have that which God has for you for the mate that he wants you to have. And so I hope you all got something out of the single satisfaction. But, you know, just be on the watch out for that. Do I need to wait for some prayer requests here?
It's now a good time.
Yes.
It's now a good time. Okay, now the mic is working. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Our first prayer request is for Karen Ramber, who is having a couple surgeries on her hand this morning. And then the second one is, let's pray for the family of Caden Carpenter, who passed away. Caden, a.k.a. KK, was a 10-year-old young man from Foss, Oklahoma.
Father God, I want to say we thank you for Karen Ramber, Lord, and for the work that she does with the pregnancy care center here in town. And so, God, we thank you. You know, we know that she has a vital position in fulfilling that, Lord, in helping young women in crisis pregnancy situations. And so, Lord, I pray that as she's about to have this surgery, God, that you would just intervene, Lord, in a special way, God, to cause everything to go well. We speak all is well, that with the surgeons, with every nurse, every person on the medical staff that attends her in any way, in any form, God, they perform excellently, and that you have given them the ability to do what they can do, God, and their expertise of line of work. And so we say that all things go well, no complications. We ask for a speedy recovery. We ask for the functioning of her hand not to be hampered in any way, that she be made completely whole, every muscle, every tendon, every ligament, the very skeletal structure of her hand, everything to function perfectly. Lord, let her hand function better than it did before this surgery, in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, we pray for this family, Lord, of Caden Carpenter from Foss, Oklahoma. God, children are so special to you, God. And so I pray for this family, Lord, that somehow, some way, God, that you would bring forth the comfort, the peace, that they are needing, Lord, in their lives, Lord. Oh, God, help them to see that they have a life that's worth living and yet continuing on, Lord, to help others in their lives. Lord, let even when time goes on, or when they're able to think about this young man, that they can think of something that will bring a smile to their face, Lord, and not be so hurtful and painful about him being gone from this earth. And so, Father God, I just pray that the peace of God, which passeth all satisfaction, would keep their hearts and minds in you, God, in Christ Jesus. Keep them, God, and let them know that while they are yet here upon this earth, you yet have purpose for them. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name.
And one more, I'll put it on the paper here in a minute. Destiny asked us if we could. Destiny says, Charity and I could use some extra prayers today and tomorrow. If you think about it, send some prayers our way. Thank you. So Destiny Maples is asking for prayers for her and Charity Maples.
Okay. Well, Father God, you see these two individuals, God, and you know what they stand in need of. You see the situation as it is, and you know how to intervene and bring about a resolution to whatever is needed, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, in our prayer, we lift them up to you, God. First of all, we lift them up to you, Lord, that they, in knowing, asking that they put their trust in you. We're hoping and believing that their trust is fully in you, knowing that you will intervene and do what is needed in their particular situation. Whatever Destiny and what's the other young lady?
Charity
need, God. Step in, God. Be the source. Be that, Lord, that can fulfill whatever is needed in their life at this present moment. And we thank you for it. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for the joy of the Lord being their strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Miss Melanie, would you like to share? We've been having people that come in, the speakers, if they, we give them the opportunity to share about their church, times of service, and location.
All right. I attend Grace Temple Worship Center here in town. It's on 20th Street, and it's the former building. It used to be the Legends Restaurant, mm-hmm. And our pastors are Lindell and Nikita Brown. And our services, we have, we call our Sunday school now, used to be Sunday school, we call it equipping class now, but it's on Sunday morning at 9:30. Then we have morning worship on Sunday morning at 11. On the first and third Tuesdays of the month, we have what we call our women's meeting. I encourage you, you don't even have to be a member to come and be a part of our women's meeting. It's a blessed time there sharing with one another. Wednesday, our midweek service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Oh, and I skipped Monday night. Monday night is our prayer night, and that's at 6:30. And women's meeting on the first and third Tuesday, that's at 5:30. So we invite you to come, be a part of the setting. You will be blessed.